I got a message this morning for some special people in here, and I don't know who you are, but I know you're here this morning. And the major portion of the message this morning is for the person in here today that has messed up and sinned. And you're having a hard time getting over it. I've been preaching long enough now to see that a lot of people make a bad mistake and sin. I mean sin against God and get out of the will of God. And then try to get back up and get on their feet and just seem like they just never do make it back up. And I want to bring a message to you this morning. And the title of the message is, Don't Defeat Yourself. Read Psalm 32, verse 5. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Now this is David writing this. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Connie Mack is a man who was a big name in baseball. If you're a baseball fan, you may recognize that name. And he was a manager of the Philadelphia Athletics from 1900 to 1950, 50 years. And, you know, it's baseball season, and they think about hitters, and I don't keep up with baseball. I'm not real interested in it, but I remember when I was young, people would say, so-and-so, he bats 350, or he 400, or maybe 265, or something like that. And he said during his 50 years of practice or experience managing a baseball team, he said he'd see hitters go into what they call a hitter slump. Good hitters, a lot of times, would get up there and strike out. And it had some kind of a mental effect on them, and they thought they was messing up and would strike out again. And somehow or another, they thought, oh no, I can't hit it. I can't hit the ball. I can't hit the ball. And that would mess them up and they'd strike out again. And they'd go into a slump. He said he had seen some of them just snap right out of that slump and get back up there where they could hit the ball. Others, he said, stayed that way and never did come out of it. He said, quote, I have seen more players lick themselves than those who were licked by an opposing team. He said, when you get down and you feel like you can't get back up, then you're already defeated. Many people, I read about one radio Bible class who gets letters from their mail from their radio program, and it said they get many, many letters of Christians who don't know how to handle the haunting memory of their past sins. And although these sins are confessed to God, it seems like they cling to you like they have those barnacles on the hull of a ship and just hang on to you to aggravate you, and you just can't seem to pull out of it, a spiritual slump. By looking back, we defeat ourselves. And for some strange reason, it seems like that it's easier to look back on our past failures than it is to just keep looking forward to new challenges and opportunities that the Lord makes for us. Now I'm going to make a statement at the beginning of the message this morning. I'm not going to give you an outline. I'm going to give you just a few thoughts for you that are having trouble getting over a sin that you've confessed. Maybe you used to sing in the choir, and you used to serve God faithfully. But there came a time in your life when you really messed up, and now every time you start to go sing in the choir, that thing comes over your head like a dark cloud. It haunts you like a ghost.
and a voice speaks to you and says, you're no worthy. You're not worthy. You have no business being in that choir. And you say, well, I've confessed it to God, but you don't feel like God has forgiven you because of this guilt that you keep carrying around. Let me say something to you this morning. And I want us all to realize this scripture that I read where David said, I confessed it. He said, I confess mine iniquity unto you, and thou forgavest the iniquity of our sin. My message to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is the same God that saved you when you was unworthy and when you called on His name is the very same God that forgives you after you're saved and cleans you up and sets you on the track again. I thank God this morning that we can be forgiven of sin. Thank God this morning that if you fall down in the mud, you need not stay down. You can get back up. I want to say this, and I want to make this statement. I'll probably make this statement again at the end of the message. And here it is. Some people confess a sin 1,000 times. Some Christians confess the same sin 1,000 times. I'd rather see you confess it once and thank God for forgiving you 1,000 times. You're much better off to thank God 1,000 times for forgiving you than you are to confess that same old sin over and over and over. Now, your flesh works like my flesh. Your brain works like my brain. When I do something wrong, I come to the Lord and I say, Father, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me and wash me in the blood? And a little voice jumps on my shoulder and says, why, you're not really sorry. That's not godly sorry. You're not even crying. God didn't forgive you of that sin. And so a few hours later, I'll say, God, please forgive me of that sin. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting your forgiveness. And I go along pretty good. That evening when I get ready to pray, I'll go in my room to pray, and I'll get down, and here'll come that same old sin back over my head. And here I'll find myself again saying, God, forgive me. You know, you feel like you just ain't confessed it hard enough. You know what I mean? You feel like, well, maybe I'm not sorry enough, God, or maybe I'm not. Listen, now I'm going to tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. The book says this. The book says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the Bible either means what it says or it don't mean what it says. It either means that or it don't mean that. And brother, I thank God 1 John 1:9's in the Bible. I'm all for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin. And you're going to get the point of the message by this statement. I am not trying to minimize sin. I am not trying to say, well, sin's no big deal. I am not trying to play down how wicked sin is. Sin is black. Sin is ugly. Sin is wicked. Sin is horrible. Sin disgusts God. And I'm not trying to play down sin. But on the same hand this morning, I will not play down the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash sin away. Sin is black and sin is powerful, but the blood is more powerful. You know, a lot of times when the preacher says, all you got to do is confess it and God will cleanse it, people say, well, that's not right. You're not taking sin serious enough. Well, I am taking sin serious. I just take the blood of Jesus more serious. Amen? The blood of Jesus is more clean than sin is dirty. The blood of Jesus is more white than sin is black. The blood of Jesus can make you more pure than sin can make you rotten. Thank God you can be forgiven. Thank God you don't have to sit back and not participate just because you've done wrong. I'm not saying it's not a big deal to do wrong. I'm just saying it's a bigger deal to get right. Listen, let me tell you something. If I quit preaching because I had sinned, you'd never hear me preach another sermon. millennials of Christians this morning. I'll go to them and I'll say, hey, why don't you witness no more? Why don't you sing in the choir no more? Why don't you preach no more? And they'll say, well, Brother Danny, I really messed up and I'm sorry and I've asked God to forgive me and I just can't seem to bring myself to get back in there. Why not? Listen. You say, well, because of what people think about me. Let me tell everybody in here something. Everybody listen, listen up. If you've confessed your sin to God Almighty and you meant that thing and you turned from that in your heart and in your heart you meant by the grace of God never commit that sin again and you said, God Almighty, forgive me, you don't have to hang your head in shame. You don't have to worry. If people don't forget it, that's their problem. If God Almighty's forgiven you and washed you and made you clean, brother, you can hold your head up high and say, I'm forgiven. I don't care what nobody says, and you can serve God and live for God and do what God wants you to do. Listen, every great Christian I ever heard of had one period of their life where they went through a slump and they got defeated and they thought, well, just God just can't use me no more. There's no place in the work of God for me. But I'll tell you, those that made a success are those that snapped out of it. I like them bumper stickers that says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Amen? That's the truth in this evening or this morning. We are, when God forgives our sins, he's not able to think about it anymore. You know, years ago there was a missionary who went to the Eskimos. And he began to talk to these Eskimos and they asked him about the Lord and everything. They started trying to say forgiven. And these certain Eskimos did not have a word in their language for the word forgiven. And they had to make one up. And the word they made up was ISSUMAGIJOUJUNGNAINERMIC. And that, the best I can pronounce it, is ISSUMAGIJUJUNGNAINERMIC. And you know what that means in their language? Not being able to think about it anymore. And the Eskimos said, when they said that word, they said, if you do me wrong, all that, you know, I am not able to think about it anymore. That's what the word forgiven means. Thank God this morning we can be forgiven. Now I know if you're perfect here, this message won't mean much to you. But for us sinners, this is a breath of fresh air. I mean, for us people that ain't what we ought to be, this is just like a cool drink of water. Hallelujah! You can be forgiven. Many times people call me and they say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. You know what I do? I say, the Bible says. Ain't this what you do? If somebody comes up to you this morning and they say, Brother Danny, I'm not sure I'm saved. What do you do with them? You say, oh, come on, you can feel something. You can feel, can you feel this? You don't do that. You say, the Bible says, right? You say, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And they say, well, Brother Danny, I believe that, but I just still feel like I'm not saved. You know what you tell them? You tell them what I tell them. You said the wrong word there. I don't feel like I'm saved. You are not saved by your feeling. The Bible does not say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and feel this or that, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now listen, listen to me now. God, the Lord laid on my heart last night and yesterday as I was praying for this service, and I know this is bound to be helping somebody if you'll listen to it. We try our best to get sinners and people that are not sure of their salvation to take what the Word of God says about salvation. We try to convince them that if God said it, that's it, and believe it regardless of what they feel. And yet you and I as Christians turn right around and don't practice what we preach in forgiveness. If God said he'd forgive you if you confessed it, you ought to practice what you preach to that sinner or that person down and say, glory to God, I'm forgiven. I just don't feel like God's forgiven me.
He's done it anyway if you ask him and mean it. Isn't it amazing how we expect them to just take it by faith and we won't take it by faith?
Listen, the Bible said, as ye have therefore received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him. How'd you receive him? By faith, right? You know how you walk in Jesus? By faith. Let me tell you, brother, if you don't get what I'm saying this morning, the devil will knock you out of the race. There's going to be a time when you're going to fall flat on your face. He's going to rub your face in the mud. And then he's going to pounce on you with guilt. And he's going to say, you're low down. You ain't got no business serving God. You're a hypocrite. And you'll have to agree with him. You'll say, devil, you're right. I agree with you. I am low down. I'm ashamed of the way I've been. And buddy, if you let the devil keep you down, you're going to be a spiritual has-been, sitting on the shelf somewhere, never being able to be effective for God. And let me say again, I am not saying it's no big deal to mess up. It is a big deal. But what I'm saying this morning is God can pick you back up. He can put you back in the race. He can put you back in the choir. He can put you back on the battlefield. God can forgive your sins and raise you up. He sure can. He sure can.
Sometimes I've had people tell me, they say, Brother Danny, I'm quitting. And I say, why? And they said, I got this thing, they'll call it a hang up, or they'll call it a habit, or they'll call just, you know, something for a sin. And they'll say, I have told God 1,000 times that I wasn't going to do it no more, and I did it again. And God knows, preacher, God knows that I didn't mean to do it again. The Lord knew in my heart when I said, God, I'm sorry. I've had them tell me that. You wouldn't believe the times people tell me that. Call me that and tell me that, or tell me over here in my office. And I always tell them the same thing. They say, Brother Danny, I'll go along pretty good for a couple of months. And then I'll have them old evil thoughts, or I'll go and mess up, or this will happen, or that will happen, or I'll fall. And I hate to rededicate my life so much. And I say, have you rededicated your life over 490 times today? And they look at me like, what? I say, have you rededicated your life over 490 times today? And they say, no. Y'all help me now, mamas. Y'all help me. I want everybody to be able to hear. It's a little bit too noisy. I know it's hard and I feel for you, but do the best you can, okay?
The Bible said they come to the Lord one time and they said, Jesus, if my brother sins against me, how many times do I have to forgive him before I knock his head off? 7? They figured the Lord would say 7, since that. They said, if my brother comes against me, bam, does me wrong and says, I'm sorry. I say, okay, you're forgiven. 2, I'm sorry. Okay, you're forgiven. 3, I'm sorry. Okay, now, this is a third time, buddy. I'm sick of it. And you say, they said, boy, if we say 7, the Lord will really think we're spiritual. Because nobody will hardly forgive somebody 7 times in one day. There's not many of us in here this morning. You know, I mean, that makes good preaching, but there ain't many people in here. You ladies, you ain't going to forgive that same woman that does you wrong 7 times in one day. Most of you wouldn't forgive her. Amen. You wouldn't really. In your heart, you'd say, buddy, I've had it with her one more time. After about that 4th time, you'd say, well, I'm going to smack her. And I would too. I'd feel the same way. And you men would too. Somebody come up to you and messed up something at work and you got it all fixed up and they said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, okay, don't worry about it. They come back about an hour later. You're only there 8 hours and they're going to mess up 7 times. That's 1 hour in your dinner break. They ain't messing you up. Now listen, and they come and they say, I'm sorry. And you say, okay, you're forgiven. And then they do it again. You say, I'm sorry. And you say, okay, you're forgiven. Lord, you're going to have to help me. And they come back again and say, I'm sorry. Okay, you're forgiven. Yeah. Yeah. I'm mad. Please, would you be careful? Right, and then they come back a minute. I'm sorry. They say, now, if we say 7 times in one day, buddy, everybody will ooh and ah. And they'll know we're spiritual. And the Lord said, no, boys, until 70 times 7.
Lord have mercy. 490 times in one day. Now, there's nobody in here, surely to goodness, you ain't backslid 490 times in one day. You ain't got time to do that.
All you'd be doing is sin, pray, sin, pray, sin, pray. I mean, I guess some of you feel like that's about all you do, ain't it? But oh, thank God, 490 times. Now, here's, if you're like me, you feel like this. When you come back to God and you start praying, the devil comes around. And he punches on your shoulder and he says, God ain't listening to you. He's sick of you. He is sick and tired of this same old baloney. You don't a bit more mean that than nothing. Why'd you do it again if you meant it? And he'll get you with that stuff if you ain't careful. But I'm telling you, God knows your heart. God, hey, God knows my heart this morning. And I don't care who in here knows it. God knows my heart. I want to be perfect. I do. I want God. I want to live right. And thank God the Lord sees our heart. And buddy, he sees us coming back to him and saying, oh God, have mercy on me. And the Lord said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Let me say to you this morning, if you've messed up, let me say in here this morning, if you've sinned against God, I know some people that hear this message probably won't like it. I know there'll be some self-righteous people that hear it maybe if it's on the radio, and they'll say, oh, that preacher just making it sound like you can just sin. No, I'm not at all. I'm trying to help a sheep that's wounded, or a little lamb that's out there broken, when all the strong sheep are looking down on that little sheep. Listen, there's a little sheep here this morning, or a little lamb, and you've been hurt, you've been wounded, and you're laying there. Don't you worry if some big strong sheep comes and looks down on you and snarls their nose up at you. You just remember the shepherd cares about you, and he wants to lift you up, and he wants to help you, and he will help you, and he will take care of you. The blood of Jesus Christ was interposed for us to forgive us of our sin. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Let me give you these stories this morning. In the Korean War, many years ago, there was a Christian in South Korea. This young man, man was arrested. And the communists learned before they killed him. They arrested him and sentenced him to die. They found out that this man was in charge of an orphanage, and that he kept little boys and little girls and kept them, you know, to keep them from starving to death and stuff. And they said, well, instead of killing him, let's don't do that, since he takes care of orphans. And the man that had him arrested and everything, they said, let's get his son. They brought his 19-year-old son in there. The man took him and they said, all right, let's kill him. The man killed his 19-year-old son in front of the Christian man. They said, we're going to do this. Instead of killing you, bam, shot his friend on the spot. But years went by and the war changed and things turned around. The United Nations got in control, and that same communist who was responsible for the death of that Christian man's 19-year-old son was arrested and condemned to die. And brother, they said that Christian man found out about it and came to the trial, and before that man was killed, he said, listen, let's let this man go. And they said, what are you talking about? He was the murderer of your own son. And he said, he was a young man, didn't understand what he was doing. Let me take him and I'll train him in my own orphanage. And the court gave him custody of him, and that Christian man took the man who had executed his son and took him and trained him in his orphanage. You say, Brother Danny, how could a man have that much forgiveness in his heart? Why didn't he just let him kill him? He was showing the love of God for a sinner through that man. And that man, it got a hold of that man, by the way. That old boy got saved, and he's a Christian pastor. He's got saved.
saved, he's a preacher, and he realized what the love of God and forgiveness really is. Ladies and gentlemen, if a man can find it in his heart to forgive the man that shot his own 19-year-old boy in cold blood, surely we ought to know that God in heaven can love us and forgive us, even though we've been responsible for the death of his son on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. During the Revolutionary War, you know, back when people had some character about them, in the Revolutionary War there was a pastor from Pennsylvania. His name was Peter Miller. He was loved by the community and everybody respected him. And he had one man who absolutely hated the ground he walked on. He hated the church. Everybody knew, it was public, that Peter Miller had an enemy. And the man hated him. And it wasn't long until that man was a traitor for his country. And he went and he was sentenced to die for treason. As soon as Peter Miller found out that his enemy was sentenced to die, he set out on foot and made the journey 60 miles to intercede to General Washington to save that man's life. And he came to General Washington. He said, "There's a man over yonder going to be executed." He said, "I want to intercede for him." And Mr. Washington looked back at him and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't help you with the life of your friend." And Peter Miller, the preacher, said, "Friend? He's not my friend. That man's the worst enemy I've ever had in this world." And he said, "You mean you would walk 60 miles to save the life of an enemy?" And Mr. Miller said, "Yes, I care about him." And he said, "In that case, I'll make an exception." And General Washington wrote out a pardon. It was 15 miles from where they were to where the man was going to be hanged. It was the day he was going to be hanged. And here come Peter Miller on foot, 15 miles, made that journey. And boy, when the crowd, they was leading him up to the scaffold there to hang him, and there was that old wicked man that hated that preacher, that talked about him like a dog, fought him, tried to stop the church from prospering and everything else. And they put him up there and they all looked, and he said, "Well, well," the condemned man did. He said, "If it ain't old Peter Miller, he's come to get revenge," and smile as he watches me die. And Peter Miller pushed his way through that crowd and made his way to that man and handed him the pardon from General Washington that saved his neck. And boy, everybody just oohed and awed. They were amazed. Now I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, the devil one day had me when I was an 18-year-old boy, 17 years old. I was being led up to the devil's slaughterhouse. I'd sinned against God. I was an enemy of the Lord. And the Lord set out on foot one day, a long time ago, before I was ever born. He come a lot further than 60 miles. He came all the way from the portals of glory. And he came down to this old sin cursed world, was wrapped in human flesh. He walked barefoot and with sandals on for 33 and a half years just to rescue me from danger, just to keep my soul from hell. I was going like this. That drop off right there would be hell. I was going like this. Boy, one more step and I would have been a goner. But thank God he rushed down here, stuck out his hands like this, let them put nails in his hands and in his feet, and he let them nail him to a cross and hold him up in front of the community, and just to save my wretched soul from going to hell. That's what the love of God means this morning. That's how much the Lord cares about us. He forgave me when I come to him and trusted him by faith. Now I want to tell you this morning, let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Right quickly as I close this morning, let me show you this verse of scripture as we begin to bring the message to a close. Colossians chapter number 1 is a great verse of scripture. You'll look at it, if you will, there. Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 21. Colossians chapter 1. If everybody can look at it, share your Bible with somebody beside you. And verse number 21. Colossians 1:21. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies," there's what we were, enemies, "in your mind by wicked works,
yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I'm saying to you this morning, if you're not saved, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, the Lord let his son die on a cross. There's a young lady down in the revival meeting this week. She is confused about being saved. She came up to me after the first night. They had her out there talking to me. And I think she's 23 years old. She'd been raised up in Michigan. She came down here. She didn't understand what it meant to be saved. She said, "What does it really mean to be saved?" And I began to tell her that Christ took her place. That Jesus died when she should have had to die. That his blood was shed so that she could have eternal life. And it began to hit her. She began to see it. She did make things right, by the way, Friday night, and got everything straight with the Lord. You pray for her that the Lord will lead her and help her out. But I'm telling you this morning, a lot of folks don't realize that God's blood for his son Jesus Christ was interposed. It was stuck right down in front of us just to rescue us in the nick of time as we were plunging over eternity into hellfire.
The same thing for you Christians this morning. After you've been saved, if you've messed up, I would rather see you, instead of confessing the same sin 1,000 times, confess it once and thank God 1,000 times you're forgiven.
You say, "Well, Brother Danny, it just don't feel like enough."
There you go again. You better junk them feelings.
You know how you got saved? You got saved by trusting Jesus Christ. And when you trusted him, then you got a feeling. You know what a lot of people's problem is? They want to feel something. And they say, "If I can feel this way or that way, I'll get saved." Now, Christians are guilty of the same thing. You know how you get forgiven? You get forgiven by confessing your sin to God. Not by crying, not by weeping, not by trying to straighten it out. You get forgiven by confessing it. Now, what you're waiting on is a feeling. "Well, I just don't feel forgiven, Brother Danny. I just don't feel it." If you accept it by faith and hang in there and live for God and read your Bible and pray and stay faithful, the feeling will come. The feeling will come. Don't defeat yourself. I will say something and I'm through. Our preacher used to say down at Nebo Baptist, Brother Hall Hollifield, he'd say this: too many people let the failures of yesterday and the fears of tomorrow rob them of the joy of serving God today. How many people do you know that are just hung up because they've done wrong and they're just at a total standstill in their Christian life, and they keep waiting on this good feeling to come, and if they ever feel worthy, they're going to get back in there and serve God and sing in the choir and witness and all. Listen, brother, the devil's got you tricked. You're not saved by your feelings. You're not kept saved by your feelings. You're saved by grace through faith. You're kept saved by grace through faith and confessing them sins and walking with God. You say, "Brother Danny, you mean you can just sin and then just say, 'God, I'm sorry,' and go right on?"
No, that's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying if you're sorry and you tell God you're wrong and you confess it to God and you mean it, you leave it with God and don't bring it up.
The psychiatrist offices are full of people this morning and tomorrow and the next day and next day that's going crazy with guilt, and they don't know how to get rid of that guilt. I'll tell you how to get rid of it. You confess it to God and believe what he said in this book, and you go right on. And if a devil says you ain't forgiven, say, "Devil, I don't believe you. I believe God. God said I was." And it won't be long till that thing will be just an old distant memory, and you can go on and serve God. Let's stand by our heads.
Don't defeat yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed. They're coming to get us a song. I'm asking you, friend, don't defeat yourself. I don't know who the message was to this morning, but I definitely feel like it's what the Lord wanted me to preach. And while Christians are praying, don't you think about your sin. Instead of confessing that same sin 1,000 times, why don't you just come down here this morning and say, God, I'm sorry. I done it. I was wrong. Now, Lord, that's it. I'm turning my back. Some's already coming this morning. One, there may be others. One's coming. Others are coming. Confess it. I'm not trying to minimize sin, folks. I'm trying to maximize the blood. The blood of Jesus is more powerful. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God I can stand up here and preach to you. We've got a God that'll forgive you. Come ye weary, heavy laden. Others, come this morning. Come on. God dealing with your heart. Dear Lord, we're wounded, broken creatures this morning. Lord, we sin and come short of the glory of God. We plead the precious blood over our sins this morning. Over my sins, Lord, as a daddy, as a preacher, as a Christian, forgive me of my sins. God, I turn from them in my heart. Forgive us as a church where we've failed you, where we've sinned, where we've not cared, where we've not prayed. Forgive us, Lord. Make our slate be clean and holy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. These on the altar, help them this morning. Others that need to come, they're still struggling, Lord. They're holding back. Help them to get on this altar this morning. Confess their sins unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.